taking their place in a long true line of everyday Americans,
helping to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. This is the Constitution Study on the America Out Loud Network with your host, Paul Engel.
Pay the bills, stay out of jail, love the neighbors and have a few good friends. Every day you are everyday Americans.
Welcome there, everyday Americans. You've joined the Constitution Study. This is actually part two of a series of episodes I'm doing on the need to raise a nation of Minutemen. As John F. Kennedy put it, as citizens who are not only prepared to take arms, but citizens who regard the preservation of freedom as the basic purpose of their daily life and who are willing to consciously work and sacrifice for that freedom. So we're calling for Minutemen. Now, you can listen to yesterday's episode. I discussed a lot of what's going on in the states. Today, I'm going to focus on what's going on out of Washington, D.C. And before I do that, I want to throw in a quote from Noah Webster. You may recognize Noah Webster from his dictionary. Noah Webster was a contemporary of the Founding Fathers. He was actually asked to edit the Federalist Papers, and he said, "Before a standing army can rule, the people must be disarmed, as they are in almost every kingdom in Europe. The supreme power in America cannot enforce unjust laws by the sword, because the whole body of the people are armed and constitute a force superior to any bands of regular troops that can be, on any pretense, raised in the United States. A military force at the command of Congress can execute no laws but such as the people perceive to be just and constitutional, for they will possess the power and jealously will instantly inspire the inclination to resist the execution of a law which appears to them to be unjust and oppressive." And think about that for a minute. And then think about, just look at the people who are trying to take away your right to keep and bear arms, a right protected by the Constitution, a right protected by the Second Amendment, not granted by the Second Amendment, protected by the Second Amendment. Why would people in government want the people disarmed so that their standing armies can rule, whether that standing army be the military or a state police force? So a while back, President Biden's press mouthpiece, Jen Psaki, when asked about the crime wave that has been going across the country, said, "Well, I would certainly say there's a guns problem." Less interested in the violence that has been taking place in many American cities, she says, "Well, the president's more interested in the guns." And I guess, you know, a lot of people can say, "Well, she's wrong and all this." No, I think she's quite right from her point of view, or from the federal supremacist's point of view. See, if you believe that the government rules the people, the last thing you want, as Noah Webster stated, was an armed people. You want to disarm the people. So the biggest problem to people who wish to rule is an armed populace, or in other words, guns. Guns in the hands of people they don't, that could actually challenge them, that could stop them from enacting or enforcing illegal, unconstitutional, and unjust laws. This is not a faux pas. This is showing the thought process of many people in government, not simply President Biden, not even the Democratic Party, many in government. Now, President Biden is, you know, Biden is certainly the president, and his attack on your right to keep and bear arms, to form militias, to secure the states against all comers, including, by the way, the federal government, well, it's not going to stop at press conferences. See, Biden nominated David Chipman to head up the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives. And Mr. Chipman has supported in the past bans on so-called assault weapons, including the infamous, or to me, famous AR-15. Now, during his nomination hearings, he was asked by Senator Cotton to define an assault weapon. So I love when we actually, you know me, I like words. Words have specific meanings. And he was asked to define it. And, well, he couldn't. And I find it interesting saying he would enforce the regulations of the ATF, but as head of the ATF, he has no clue apparently what they mean. But you see, technically, since the purpose of an arm is the ability to, is according to Noah Webster, an arm is anything you can take in your hand to assault or attack someone. So pretty much every weapon's an assault weapon. But we see that the some of the definitions, even if we were to concede that there are special assault weapons, that you know, your .22 squirrel rifle is not as dangerous as some of these semi-automatic weapons with detachable magazines, and somehow that makes them more lethal, you'd have to define them. But then again, if you're a government supremacist, if you believe government rules, why would you try to define an assault weapon? The more weapons you can take out of everyday citizens' hands because you simply give them a name, well, the better it is for those who believe government's rule. See, the real danger of assault weapons isn't the fact that you can shoot more rounds with these weapons or you can reload them quickly and easily. No, it's a tool to further expand government's infringement on your right to keep and bear arms. And while President Biden can nominate anyone he wants for these positions, remember, it is not the president nominating and the Senate confirming. The president nominates with the advice and consent of the Senate. And right now, the Senate, like much of Washington, is so wrapped up in political parties and party dissension, it doesn't matter if this gentleman, Mr. Chipman, would be a good ATF, whether the advice of the Senate would be that he'd be a good head of the ATF. It doesn't matter. He's nominated by a Democrat. The Republicans won't like him. So pretty much I expect all the Republicans to vote against him, all the Democrats to vote for him. And maybe there'll be one or two that switch sides. There'll be the exception, not the rule. Because we don't care if Mr. Chipman supports the Constitution or not. We only care if he's got the right political providence. If he promises to be to follow the political party. You want to know why these nominations are such a mess? Because they have nothing to do with the Constitution and the constitutional role of the president and the Senate. These are political party pissing matches, nothing more. And keeping with the Senate, several senators, by the way, they're all Republicans, well, they weighed in on the fact that the ATF is rewriting law. I mean, that's the only way to describe it. They've rewritten the law because the Biden administration doesn't like the fact that people can buy pistol braces. And, well, let's start with there. Pistol brace. For those of you who don't understand the technologies of firearms, a pistol brace is basically something you attach to a pistol so that it can be braced not simply in your hand, but in your forearm. They were designed for people with certain physical limitations, right? If you've got a weak wrist, or if you can't use your other hand to help support the firearm, it makes sure that that you can accurately and safely fire a firearm. For some reason, the ATF doesn't like them anymore. See, when they first came out, the ATF actually issued letters to the original manufacturer saying, no, this does not make a pistol a rifle. All it is a stabilizing brace. You're perfectly legal. Now, the ATF is changing the rules. They decided, no, we've decided. What does that tell you about the federal government? They don't bother legislating anymore. We're not even going to bother following the Constitution. We're going to let ATF rewrite the law because the Democrats in Congress. And by the way, the Republicans do this exact same thing. Remember, President Trump had the ATF rewrite the law to declare that bump stocks suddenly made a semi-automatic firearm a machine gun. Now, it completely violated the language of the law, but we don't care. We got, you know, people got what they wanted. But see, I care. Not because, simply because of the irrationality of these things. We are legislating. We are people, we are creating laws without going through the legislative process. How can your rights be secure if the people that you hire to secure your rights aren't involved in creating the laws? And by the way, these laws have criminal penalties. So these rules, these laws are illegally formed because Article 1, Section 1, Clause 1 of the Constitution says all legislative power resides in Congress, is vested in a Congress. All, not most, not some, all. And it's not simply the pistol braces. See, they've also decided they're going to rewrite the law when it comes to frames and receivers. Now, again, for those of you who are not familiar with firearms, a frame is basically just that. It's the bulk of a firearm. It's what holds all the stuff together. It's like the frame of a car. A receiver is the part of the firearm that accepts the ammunition feeding mechanism, that encloses the trigger and its mechanism, and the bolt, which is the part that moves back and forth, pulls out old rounds, puts new rounds in. Right, that's the receiver. And according to the National Firearms Act, according to federal law, a receiver must be serialized. When you manufacture a receiver, you must put a serial number on it before you can sell it. Right? That's important because the AR-15 or the AR-15 style rifle has a split receiver, right? One part, the lower receiver, includes the ammunition feeding mechanism and the trigger group, the trigger and its mechanism. The upper receiver contains the bolt. So according to federal law, an AR-15, neither part being the entire receiver, does not need to be serialized. And that just scares the stuffing out of anti-gunners. You mean an AR-15? So again, this is a problem in the law. It's a problem with the way the law was written. Does Congress go back and fix the law? No. We're just going to let ATF rewrite the rules for us. That is the problem. I mean, I may disagree with people about whether or not the safety and required for serialization. But if the law says that you don't need to serialize an AR-15 because it doesn't include, neither part is a complete receiver, well, then fix the law. And if you're not going to bother to fix the law, then you are an illegal, you are an unlawful government. The ATF is breaking the law. They are violating the law. They are stealing the powers of Congress. Yet most people don't care because all they see is, oh, the anti-gunners go, we're happy with what they're doing. The pro-gunners are upset with what they're doing, and nobody's paying attention to the fact that the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, which, by the way, is an illegal agency, it's not authorized by the Constitution, is now stealing the rights of Congress, infringing on the rights of the American people. And we're arguing about how badly they're going to infringe on our rights rather than recognizing they're stealing our rights. And why are they stealing our rights? Because they don't believe we can be trusted with arms. And the people write these foolish and ridiculous and illegal regulations, and we follow them, and we don't even pay attention to them. I mean, if you want to know just how absurd the new regulations were proposed, at least the last ones that I saw, there's a gentleman who pointed out that according to the proposed ATF rule, anything that can be readily converted into a working firearm must be treated as a gun, including, well, they don't term it that way, but if you follow the rules, that would include a Nerf gun. Yes, theoretically, a Nerf gun is considered a firearm and must be serialized and tracked like an AR-15. So that's because the people who are writing these regulations know little about firearms or care little about how they work. All they're interested in is making sure the American people don't get their hands on them. Patrick Henry said, "Are we at last brought to such a humiliating and debasing degradation that we cannot be trusted with arms for our own defense?" In the mind of the anti-gunners, the answer to that is yes. They believe you cannot be trusted with arms for your own defense. How do you like that? How do you feel now, knowing that those in government simply don't trust you? They don't think you're capable of defending yourself. They want you dependent on them. Now, there is some good news around here. It seems to be few and far between, but it's there. So, for example, the Supreme Court, in a unanimous opinion, disagreed with the argument from the Biden administration and said that a case in Rhode Island said that police should not be allowed to enter a home without a warrant to seize guns. The case, which I've covered before, is Kniggler versus Strom. And the reason I bring it up here is you had the Biden administration apparently pushing for the court to opine the other way, and it did not. But again, that's few and far between. You do have people standing up to what, or at least offering an opinion about what has been going on in the administration. Apparently about 44,000 people have submitted comments on this proposed regulation. 140 members of Congress have spoken out and say that that the Biden administration is trying to bypass the legislative process. They're trying to implement gun control, gun bans, without going through the legislative process. Again, not a surprise. Both parties do it. But they do it because they get away with it, and they get away with it because we, the American people, stand for it. We let it happen. And this is not all coming from Biden and his administration. The U.S. Conference of Mayors had a press conference. Several of the mayors of Austin, Texas, Savannah, Georgia, Chicago, Illinois, and Cleveland, Ohio, demanded that the Biden administration take immediate actions to make their cities safer for their residents. Now, okay, if you live in any of these cities and you voted for these people, you're a petty subject. First of all, it is not the federal government's job to keep the city safe. That's the job of the city government, the ones that you hired. And it's the job of the mayors to execute the laws of the city. So if the laws of the city are flawed, then it's up to the city councils to fix them. They work for the people of the city. If the laws are fine, but the mayors are screwing up, well, that's their fault. And that does not give them the authority to demand the President of the United States infringe on the rights of the American people because they are too weak, too cowardly, too ineffective to protect their own cities. Gentlemen, ladies and gentlemen, you are a disgrace. If you can't protect your own city, why do you think the federal government should break the law to do what you're unwilling to do? Could it possibly be that you are wrong, that your policies have failed, but unwilling to admit it, you want someone else to come bail you out? Do you want to know why we have a Second Amendment? Why we have the right to keep and bear arms? It says right in the Second Amendment, a well-regulated militia is necessary to the security of a free state. Not the federal government is necessary to the security of a free state, not an armed federal law enforcement, the state militia. So if in your cities you cannot keep control, maybe it's about time your state capitals boot you out and take control, because you won't do it. And what do these mayors want President Biden to do? Disarm the people. That's what gun control. We talk about gun controls. Gun controls don't control guns. It certainly doesn't control criminals. It controls law-abiding citizens. They want to disarm the people. And as James Madison said, disarm the people. That is the best and most effective way to enslave them. Even if you are not interested in guns, even if they scare the pants off of you, if you have no desire to touch a firearm, recognize disarming the people is the best and most effective way to enslave them. You should not be looking to take away guns from the people who are willing to defend your rights. You should be standing with them saying, no, I don't want to pick up a gun. They scare me. But this person is willing to defend my rights. Let them have it. Why do you think so many of these big cities with all of these gun control laws, like Austin, Texas, like Chicago, Illinois, like Cleveland, Ohio, I'm not sure about Savannah, Georgia. Why do you think these cities that have done everything they can to disarm their people have people who are enslaved? They have the crime. The people are not simply enslaved to government. They're enslaved to the criminal element because they've got no way to defend themselves. This is the state that we've brought America to. Not because politicians have done this, not because activist groups have done this, but because the American people have allowed themselves in many places to be disarmed and enslaved. By the way, that is one of the reasons why I left the state of New York, because the state of New York wanted to enslave me by making it harder and harder for me to protect myself and my family. So why is the issue of firearms, of arms of any sort, so important? Why have I spent the last 2 days talking about firearms and government's attempts to restrict them, and push back by some police, sometimes parts of government, sometimes the people themselves? What is so important about them? Well, Joseph Story said, the right of the citizens to keep and bear arms has justly been considered as the palladium of the liberties of the Republic, since it offers a strong moral check against the usurpation and arbitrary power of the rulers, and will generally, even if they are successful in the first instance, enable the people to resist and triumph over them. Do you want to know why firearms are so important? The right to keep and bear any arms is so important. As Joseph Story and many of our founding fathers said, it is the protection of liberty. It is the ability of the people to stand up against the usurpation of their rights or the execution of arbitrary powers by government. This is not simply going out hunting. This isn't even necessarily about self-defense against a criminal, although that is part of the reason to be secure, is to protect yourself from criminal actors. But it is to protect ourselves from the usurpation of our rights and from the arbitrary powers of government. Now, if we cast ourselves back 1776, 1777, 78, a couple of interesting factoids I've picked up over the years. See, as I understand it, only about one-third of the colonists actually were for independence. They were willing, they wanted to separate from Great Britain, while a third wanted to stay British subjects. They wanted to remain subject to the King of Great Britain. And a third, well, they didn't care one way or the other. But the interesting thing is only approximately 3% of the colonists actually fought for independence. Arms. Arms were what made the difference. Arms were what allowed this ragtag bunch of colonists, these few regular army and these militia of farmers to stand against the most powerful military in the world. Then think to, Afghanistan and Iraq, and how long sophisticated armies had to fight, and in the case of Afghanistan, never really win. Why? Because as Noah Webster said, a military force at the command of Congress can execute no laws but such as the people perceive to be just and constitutional. For they will possess the power, and jealousy will instantly inspire the inclination to resist the execution of a law which appears to them unjust and oppressive. Now, let me put another set of numbers before you. The federal government, between the military, the guard, and the reserves, can put its hands on about 2 million men and women to bear arms. Now, that's a scary number, 2 million men and women. But it is estimated there are over 100 million gun owners in America, 100 million citizens that own firearms, that have the power to resist the execution of unjust laws. And if history is our guide, only about 3% of them would even consider picking up arms. That's 3 million men and women that are willing to defend your rights. But Paul, they have planes and they have bombs. And how well did that work in Afghanistan? How well did it work in our own revolution? We were outmanned. We were outgunned. But we still were victorious. Because it's not simply the arms that makes the difference. It's the heart. So whenever you hear or see a politician or a pundit or someone else decry the fact that law-abiding citizens can own any arm they wish, it is not called the Bill of Needs, it's called the Bill of Rights. They have the right to keep and to bear any arm, anything they can pick up in their hand to defend themselves. They are decrying the very basis of liberty, the very palladium of our living, the basis, the fact that we, the people, rule our government, not the other way around. Why do you think those in government want us disarmed? How can we rule them if they hold all the arms? How can you stand up to an unjust arrest if only the police have arms or the legal authority to use them? How can you stand up against a tyrannical Congress if you have no way to defend yourself when they come to steal your land or otherwise infringe on your rights? We need a nation of minutemen. We need men and women that are willing to stand at a moment's notice to defend not only their rights, but their neighbors' rights. And we should not be surprised that government doesn't want us to do that. Because it's the one thing that government has at the moment that we don't. They have a disparity in force. And the last thing they want to have happen is for the American people to be able to stand against them and say, no. Now, before I hit this break, I want to remind you, I'm heading out on the road. I'm going to be doing my Knowing Your Rights tour. Go to constitutionstudy.com/tour. Find out what's going to be in the tour, where I'm going to be. I'm adding new dates, so keep an eye on the website. If you would like me to come to your town, your city, and talk to you and your people, it doesn't need to be a big event, simply go to that website, constitutionstudy.com/tour. Fill out the form, and I will do everything I can to come meet you and your neighbors and help you understand your rights, how to defend them, how to assert them. You know, I'm kind of looking forward to being on the road, but it's hard. I mean, it's a lot of work. It really drains you. Unless you've spent a couple of weeks on the road, you don't really understand how draining it is. That's why I'm looking forward to using Healthy Cells tools. They're REM sleep to help me sleep at night. But mostly, I'm looking forward to using their Focus and Recall to help me stay alert and awake as I'm talking to Americans across this country. You too can try out Healthy Cell. And as an America Out Loud listener, you get 20% off your first order. Just go to healthycell.com/outloud. You'll get your 20% discount. Try any of their products today. Like I said, I'm trying the Focus and Recall. Again, that's healthycell.com/outloud for your 20% discount, and I'll be back right after this break.
Well, my fellow Americans, how did you feel watching footage on the news of domestic terrorists looting our stores and burning our cities down. You were probably disgusted and angry as much as I was. It's disturbing what's going on. Well, you'd be shocked to know that your shopping habits are supporting these extremists. Companies like Amazon, Nike, Disney, FedEx, it's an endless list. And they've been supporting these radical groups. Let's stop supporting companies that fund these extremist groups. We can all do our part. Visit shoptotheright.com and you'll find businesses in a nationwide database and companies that are aligned with our American values. Visit shoptotheright.com and let's all make a difference.
In 2008, the amount of concentrated time people could spend on a task without becoming distracted was 12 seconds. 5 years later, it was only 8 seconds, 1 second less than a goldfish. If you find yourself always distracted or having trouble recalling information, you're likely to fall behind in the demanding, fast-paced 21st century. In other words, brain performance is more critical now than ever. Boost your brain power with Healthy Cells Focus Plus Recall. Science-backed nootropics to sharpen focus, concentrate longer, enhance recall, improve mental speed, learn rapidly, and be more alert. It's a pill-free brain supplement made with maximum absorption technology, designed to feed our brains at the cellular level. Take it for a test drive. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order of Focus Plus Recall. That's HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
AmericaOutLoud.com. Simply put, we're patriots who believe in Ronald Reagan's vision of a shining city on a hill. From sea to shining sea. You can listen in on iHeartRadio. Our free apps are on Apple, Android, or Alexa, or our world-class media player. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
Welcome back, everyday Americans. We are talking about Minutemen here at the Constitution Study. The fact that we need them. We need men and women that are willing to stand for our rights and that are ready at a moment's notice to protect the rights, not only of themselves and their family, but of their neighbor. Because our rights are under attack. And as I've already shown in the first half of this program, our founding fathers understood the importance of the people being armed to act as a check against their government, a tyrannical government, an ever-growing government. And apparently, well, let's say we just don't learn our lessons. For example, I have an article here from BearingArms.com talking about how more and more people are talking about ammo control. Not simply gun control, but let's face it, a gun without ammunition is basically a club. Now, this has been tried in California, and apparently there are people still trying to do it or talking about doing it at the federal level. They want to regulate ammunition. They want background checks for ammunition. They want to put taxes on ammunition. I want to remind them of a little thing called the Battles of Lexington and Concord. A little bit of history. The Battle of Lexington, the battle that actually started the shooting war of the Revolution, was started because the British were coming to confiscate ammo. They had orders, the British military had orders to go to Lexington and Concord, seize the town's powder houses where they stored their gunpowder, their ammunition, to take away from the colonists the ammunition necessary to make their firearms useful. And that was such an egregious abridgment of their rights that when the British military showed up on Lexington Green, they were met by the Massachusetts militia. When the British commander ordered the militia to lay down their arms and disperse, their commander, Captain John Parker, said, "Stand your ground, don't fire unless fired upon, but if they mean to have war, let it begin here." I wish some of these people in government would learn that lesson. It's bad enough that they're trying to regulate our arms, Now they want to regulate the ammunition as well. When are the American people going to stand up and say, no, we are going to stand our ground. We won't fire unless fired upon, but we are not going to stand by and let you trample our rights. If you want a war, bring it. Now understand, if we get to a shooting war, that's because the American people have failed. That means every opportunity we've had to avoid the conflict, to deal with the problem at the ballot box, we have failed to take so that our only solution is on the battlefield. When they are coming for your guns and they're coming for your ammo, those are the tripwires that tend to get people shot. And those shootings often escalate into, a shot heard around the world. Is that really what the American people want? Do we want a shooting war because we will not deal with an out-of-control government when we can still deal with it at the ballot box? Now, I'm sure most of you are aware that most of this gun control insanity, most of these tyrannical attempts to subjugate the American people are coming from those who identify with the Democratic Party. But that's not all. Senator John Cornyn, who is, by the way, a Republican, and from the state of Texas, was seeking compromise language for Democratic gun control. He was willing to compromise in order to get a bill passed. Now, I don't know why Mr. Cornyn was seeking to compromise on the rights of the people of the state of Texas that he represents. I don't know why he would be looking to compromise on the power of the state that he supposedly represents. But as I keep telling you, a pox on both their houses. The Republicans are just as willing to sell out your rights if they think it will advance their agenda as the Democrats. This is not a partisan issue. This is a people versus the government issue. Are we in control of our government or not? For example, in the latest twist from the January 6th, what are they calling, a breach of the Capitol. I love the words that they use. The Department of Justice has accused a Maryland man of daring to carry a semi-automatic handgun and ammunition into the Capitol building without a license. Now, states around the country have been instituting what's referred to as constitutional carry. Constitutional carry basically says you don't need a license. The Constitution says the right to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. That means you have a right to not only own, that's what keep means, but to bear, meaning carry. You have the right to own and to carry firearms unless that right is removed via due process. That's the general oversight of the entire Constitution, right? The Fifth Amendment says you cannot be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law. James Madison, in his essay on property, says not only do you have a right to property, you have a property in your rights. So before you can have the right to keep and bear arms removed, there must be due process of law. When the government says you need their permission to carry an arm, they are infringing on that right. From Noah Webster, infringe is to break, as contracts, to violate either positively by contravention or negatively by non-fulfillment or neglect of performance. So, when you violate the right to keep and bear arms by requiring a license, a positive contravention, you are violating the Constitution of the United States. You are violating the supreme law of the land. As Alexander Hamilton said in Federalist Papers No. 78, there is no position which depends on clearer principles than that every act of a delegated authority contrary to the tenor of the commission under which it is exercised is void. No legislative act, therefore, contrary to the Constitution, can be valid. To deny this would be to affirm the deputy is greater than the principal, that the servant is above his master, that the representatives of the people are superior to the people themselves, that men acting by virtue of powers may do not only what their powers do not authorize, but what they forbid. So when Congress passed the law that says in order to carry a handgun in the nation's capital, you must get a license, that act is contrary to the commission under which the Congress acts. And yes, Congress makes the law for Washington, D.C. because it's a federal city. So according to Alexander Hamilton, that law is void. And the very idea that that law would be valid is anathema to liberty, to freedom, to a republic. And for those of you who still believe that the Supreme Court tells us what the Constitution says, well, let's go back to Marbury versus Madison and Chief Justice Marshall, who said, "Thus, the particular phraseology of the Constitution of the United States confirms and strengthens the principle, supposed to be essential to all written constitutions, that a law repugnant to the Constitution is void, and that courts, as well as other departments, are bound by that instrument." See, but that's why we need a nation of Minutemen. Who's going to stand up for this Maryland man? Who's going to stand up when the Department of Justice sends the FBI to arrest this man for violating a void law? Who? Do you think, agents of the state of Maryland are going to stand up for this gentleman? I seriously doubt it. In fact, I doubt any state would put their law enforcement in the way of the FBI. They've been so beaten into submission, they would do basically whatever the FBI wants. See, remember when I talked about the Supremacy Clause a few days ago? If not, you can go back to the website, go to AmericaOutloud.com, look for the Constitution study, find where I talked about the Supremacy Clause. Understand, federal law is only supreme if it's made pursuant to the Constitution. This is a law made not pursuant to the Constitution. Therefore, it is void. We need Minutemen to stand up against the tyranny of governments passing laws they're not authorized to pass. So when President Biden, in a statement while apparently talking about some executive actions, says the Second Amendment from the day it was passed limited the types of people who could own a gun and what type of weapons you could own. That, Mr. Biden, is a lie, right? That is a flat out lie. First of all, the only limitation that was ever placed on the right to keep and bear arms had to do with conviction of a crime. You had to go through due process. The only time any of your rights can be infringed upon is as a punishment for a crime under due process. There was no limitation. It says the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Which part of that can these people not understand? Shall not means shall not. And I'd love Mr. Biden to show me where the Constitution says you can't buy a cannon. See, the Constitution is the supreme law of the land. And it says it is illegal for you to infringe on our rights. This is the lie. This is the nonsense that gets spread, that people repeat and think that it's true, because their heads have been buried in the sand by the excuse of our education system to not read basic plain English. According to a tweet, Mr. Biden said that if you think you need to have weapons to take on the government, you need F-15s and maybe some nuclear weapons. Well, Mr. President, as you're tucking tail and running from Afghanistan. Now, I have a lot of issues with how and what we did in Afghanistan, but let's face it, the reason we've been fighting in Afghanistan is because even with F-15s, F-16s, B-52s, and weapons, we were not able to subjugate the Afghan people. Mr. President, those are fighting words. You're basically saying you are a petty tyrant and that you will use weapons, including weapons of mass destruction, against the American people, the rightful rulers of this country. This is the danger of allowing our right to keep and bear arms to be restricted and controlled and infringed upon. The fact that the chief executive, the fact that the commander-in-chief believes that he is safe from the American people because he is in command of F-15 and nuclear weapons shows why we have a Second Amendment, so that we can keep arms, including arms enough to keep a petty tyrant in the White House away from us, to prevent him from enacting illegal, unjust laws. Where are the Minutemen? Where are the men and women standing up and saying, whoa, 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 hang on there, Mr. President. You don't have that authority. You are wrong. You are lying to the American people. As Thomas Jefferson said, what country can preserve its liberties if its rulers are not warned from time to time that their people preserve the spirit of resistance? Let them take arms. Amen, Mr. Jefferson. Mr. Biden, you are warned. You need to be warned that we, the American people, preserve the spirit of liberty, not you, not that office. And if it takes arms for us to do it, then so be it. Edmund Burke said that all that is necessary for evil to succeed is that good men do nothing. Well, there is evil right in front of you, ladies and gentlemen. There is your commander-in-chief telling you that you don't dare stand against the federal government because they have bigger guns than you do. And they're doing everything they can right now to limit what guns you can own. There's evil. What are we going to do? Are the good men and women of this country going to do nothing? Are we going to sit back and watch while our rights are eroded, infringed upon, destroyed, and do nothing? That is the act of cowardice. To leave to our children a nation less free, ruled by evil men because we were unwilling to get off our backsides and vote in an election, or to vet our candidates based on the Constitution, not based on what party they're a member of, whether they have a donkey or an elephant on their logo, whether or not they're going to put money in your pocket or promise you the moon. That is evil is allowed to succeed because we, the American people, do nothing. That is why this evil has been allowed to fester in this nation, because we, the American people, have done nothing. Oh, sure, there have been a few people from here and there that have stood up, and many of them have paid the price. Maybe it'll be next will be this Maryland man who will pay the price for daring to exercise his right to keep and bear arms on federal property. Or Lavoie Finicum, who lost his life for daring to challenge the federal government's control of agriculture in the West. You know, Thomas Jefferson said, the tree of liberty must be refreshed from time to time with the blood of patriots and tyrants. Perhaps that is why the tree of liberty is withering and dying in America. We have been unwilling to water it. I'm not calling for bloodshed, but I am calling for courage. See, for too long, we've looked for someone else to water that tree. For someone else to go off and fight our wars overseas, but not fight for liberty here in America. The tree of liberty is starving because we, the people, won't water it. We won't feed it. We won't protect it. The fault is not Mr. Biden. It's not even in Washington. The fault is ours. You see, they've come to us with the pleas and the cry saying, it's a necessity. We must infringe on your rights. We need to keep you safe. We need to violate the Constitution to do what is right for you. It is a necessity. But as William Pitt the Younger said, necessity is the plea of every infringement of human freedom. It is the argument of tyrants. It is the creed of slaves. So every time the government says we must infringe on your rights so that we can take care of you, understand that is the argument of a tyrant coming for your rights. And every time you submit to that, that is the creed of slaves. That is why we need Minutemen. Why we need men and women willing to put their blood on the line. Willing to stand up, protect their neighbors, defend not only the people they know, but people they don't. Willing at a moment's notice to do what is necessary to keep tyrants from taking control. But where are they? Where are they? George Washington said, the very atmosphere of firearms anywhere and everywhere restrains evil interference. They preserve a place of honor with all that's good. I don't want that one. On the contrary, when the people are universally ignorant and debauched in their manners, they will sink under their own weight without the aid of foreign invaders. The American people are tamely surrendering liberty after liberty after liberty after liberty. 2020 and the beginning of 2021 have been the proof. We surrendered our liberty to go without masks. We surrendered our liberty to go outside. We surrendered our liberty to work. Why did we do that? Because most people don't have any knowledge of the Constitution or their rights. The knowledge of the fact that we, the people, created the federal government through our states is gone. Knowledge is no longer diffused. That knowledge is no longer spread throughout the American people. We are universally ignorant of our rights. We are universally ignorant of our power and authority. We are universally ignorant of the role of government and our role in keeping it in check. We have become debauched in our manners. We expect government to take care of us. We expect government to pay for our health care, our food, our housing. We expect government to pay for our unemployment. We expect government to give us everything. We expect government to give us internet access. Everything is government, gimme, gimme, gimme. We are sinking under our own weight. The question is, are there still Minutemen and women willing to stand up? To stand athwart the behemoth that is Washington, D.C., and in some cases athwart our own state capitals. To tell them, no, we will stand our ground. We won't fire unless fired upon, but we will not move. Our rights are too dear. The rights of our children are too valuable. We will diffuse this knowledge so that others may join us, so that we do not sink and that tree of liberty doesn't wither away. And if it means our blood, if it means our arrest, if it means our inconvenience, we will pay the price. Remember the Kennedy quote I started this without yesterday. Today, we need a nation of Minutemen. Citizens who are not only prepared to take arms, but citizens who regard the preservation of freedom as the basic purpose of their daily life and who are willing to consciously work and sacrifice for that freedom. That was the 1960s. Here we are in 2021. Where are those Minutemen? Where are those women, those Minute women? Where are the citizens that regard the preservation of freedom as a basic purpose of their daily life? Now, if knowledge is not diffused in this country, what can we do about it? Well, one thing I'm doing is I am traveling the country this summer and I'm teaching people to know their rights. I've only have time for these events for a few rights, but it's going to be good. These are big rights. Not only to recognize them, but how do we defend and assert them? And you can find out more. Head to constitutionstudy.com/tour. Find out what I'll be talking about. Find out where I'll be talking. I'm still adding events and locations. So check the calendar. See if I'm coming near you. If I am, please join us. I would love to shake your hand. I would love to meet you. And I'd love the opportunity to speak with you and talk with you and answer your questions about rights and liberties and how we defend them. If I'm not currently coming near you, we'll scroll down to the bottom of the page. There's a form you can fill out. I'll set up a Zoom call and we'll see if we can make something happen near you. It doesn't need to be big. It doesn't need to be huge. It just needs to be some people willing to study. That is one way we are diffusing the knowledge of the Constitution. The other is through this radio program. And then on the second and fourth Thursday of the month, I do an open Q&A. I'm sending some more information out about it, but you can join. I'm doing it on YouTube. It'll soon be on the Constitution Study website. There's a Zoom call you can meet, and we can have an honest, open discussion and answer questions because we want to make this information, this knowledge, spread as far as we can. And you can help. How? Well, take this program, when it comes out on podcast, share it with friends and family. You can find it on Spotify, Stitcher, Pandora, iHeart, basically anywhere you get a podcast. Share it. Let them know. Expose them to the knowledge. You can do more. Go to Apple Podcasts and give me a rating and review. The more people subscribe, the more they rate this show well, the more people will hear it. You can go to my website, constitutionstudy.com. All that information is free for you to use and for you to share. This is all so we can spread knowledge. There's another website called Constitution Scholars, where if you want to engage and learn how to become a scholar and learn how to study and teach others, that's the place to go. All of this is there to help spread that knowledge. Now, what are you going to do about it? You see, in 1776, Minutemen, they had to pick up arms. Today, while arms are important, you can help spread the word by spreading this program and the articles and videos I put out. Find out more at AmericaOutloud.com and join me here next time for the Constitution Study.
Paid bills, stay out of jail, love the neighbors and have a few good friends.